The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and Toy Bar Flies Jason Duvall and Dave Draper discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 2013, to the 2013, the Dave, I can't talk. What happened to me? I had a slight stroke.
Tear ducking.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, the first Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles in a couple weeks. After the holiday, we are back with an all-new episode brought to you, of course, each and every week by the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Welcome, my good co-host and buddy, Dave Draper.
Hey.
And welcome our good, good buddy and good guest, the voice of thoughts with ADAS Baron. ADAS Baron, yay!
Greetings, one and all, boys and girls of all ages.
This is going to be a fun episode because I can just say Baron all day long, and it'll be great.
I love it when you do that.
I know. Everybody. I don't know why everybody does. I think a long time ago somebody asked me, why do you say his name like that? I'm like, I liked Everybody Loves Raymond, and their last name was Baron. And it's just fun to say.
I think it was Carrie on one of the Married to the Collection episodes.
It might have been. Yeah. Might have been. She's like, there's no E on there. I'm like, doesn't matter. I'll just add letters. Like, I'll just add David Draper. David.
Since when is there an umlaut on that?
Well, you know. Dave's fancy now. Didn't you know that? It's 2013. Dave's turned over a new leaf. He's decided to become uber fancy. You know, he's got his schmarmy glasses. He's turned his back on Doctor Who. It's a new year for David.
Turn my back on Doctor Who. Okay. You know, I almost, if you had actually, I think the reason we're doing this on Skype today is you knew that if you came over here, I would beat you up and take your lunch money. Because you sent me text yesterday, like going, I'm listening to the audio. The audio version of the Eighth Doctor's Adventures, and they're really keen. I'm like, audio version? Like, yes, I saw a picture of him in the Doctor Who magazine. It's like, oh my god. I mean, it's like, you went from like zero to like uber nerd fanboy listening to the audio plays. I don't even listen to the audio plays of Star Wars. I mean, it's like, wow.
Well, I got curious because we only had, like, what, one movie with the Eighth Doctor?
Yeah, we had the Fox TV movie.
And it's like, I kind of want to see what they would have done with him. And the audio dramas are a nice way to see, oh, okay, this is what his Doctor would have been like had they continued. So, I don't know, it was kind of neat. It's the only one I'd listen to, really.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't found any other ones. That was it.
There you go.
So,
and nowadays...
What's that, Dawson?
Nowadays, I feel like I'm the only person who isn't watching Doctor Who.
You should watch. You have Netflix, do you not?
Yeah, I do. I do have.
Yeah. You should just sit down and Netflix that bad boy, because once you watch the first episode, you're like, oh, damn it, I'm hooked. but just start with the Eccleston
era. Yeah, I was going to say, means the modern era.
Yeah.
Because we had a fan who was like, I'm going to watch them all. And I asked him about that yesterday, actually. And he's like, yeah, I got about four episodes into the Hartnell thing, and then I just skipped to the Eccleston stuff. Okay.
Good choice. Yeah. A lot of that stuff in the 60s and 70s is just, it's bad acting, bad. I mean, it was a kid's show, basically.
It's a cheesy kid's show, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it's pretty hard to watch, but the modern era is where it really, like, kicked it into high gear, and you're like, oh, see, now those kids that were fans of the show are now running the show, and it's so much more watchable. Oh, how was you guys' Christmas? How was everything? Good Christmases?
Subtle. Good.
Oh, what? Just subtle? Okay, well, we're going to hold off on Dave. Explain your subtleness and just your good.
Oh, okay. So, for my birthday, my parents got me this laptop. So, like, okay, right. You know, it's going to take up your birthday present and a majority of your Christmas present.
Oh, that's like a dagger in the heart. You're like, no!
And, you know, over the years, our Christmas dinners have been getting smaller and smaller with my grandparents and Florida, and, you know, people getting older and whatnot.
Right.
So there are only about seven of us for dinner. But the highlight has to be after almost 2 years together with her, Mallory finally bought me toys.
Awesome. What'd you get?
I got classics figures. Because since I was my funds were a little depleted at the time, so I kind of had to cancel my subscription.
Right,
like 6 months behind.
Oh.
So I got most of them, or at least the ones that I actually wanted.
Fair enough. I'm like 2 years behind, so.
Yeah. As long as I got my Mechanic, that's the only one I want.
What else did you, just the classics figures out of your toy haulage for Christmas, or anything else of note?
Let's see. Socks. I got socks.
Everybody likes socks.
I know. I feel like I'm getting so old because now it's like, oh, socks. I can actually use these.
I know. I'm doing my laundry, looking at my socks going, I wish I was getting socks for Christmas these days because I need socks. My whole hole.
Poor Dave. Dave, how was your Christmas?
It was pretty good. It's funny, like, Cherry would buy me toys, but I already have them.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them.
All the toys.
Pretty much. So it was okay. It was low key. I went to my aunt's house for Christmas Eve, and I had a home cooked meal, which was probably the best Christmas present I've had in years. no, because I really, you know, I mean, I can cook. Technically, I can throw food at the stove, and it's edible. But to actually have something that's cooked, you know, like a real meal.
Right.
I can't even remember the last time. It may have been last Thanksgiving. The last time I had a real kind of home-cooked meal. So, you know, that was really, you know, present enough for me. So, and then just kind of chilled out the next day. And I told you about the Sci-Fi Channel had the Canine spinoff TV show. They had a marathon.
Yeah, I watched some of those.
Which was awful.
Yeah, it was
just
pretty bad.
Unwatchably bad. Like, I saw, like, the first two or three episodes. I'm like, this is just awful. And I told you about it, and you watched them, so.
I did. I watched about 2 hours worth of them, and God. I was like, I'm done. Yeah, I'm like, I can't.
It's just dumb. They were bad. They were cheaply, they just look cheap, and they're dumb. And Canines hardly ever seem to be in them, you know?
Yeah.
Although
the bad guy in that was Dr. Claw.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You sent me a text about that.
Yeah, because he had one robotic hand. I'm like, Dr. Claw, that's where he went. Inspector Gadget didn't beat him. He just ran to Europe. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I spent Christmas Eve with my my wonderful wife's sister and brother-in-law and those kids, and we spent Christmas Day just chilling on the couch, and I got some display cabinets, and of course Carrie paid for my Inspector Gadget, and I got some shirts, and that was about the extent of my Christmas. It was a good Christmas. It was a lot of fun. It was a good holiday. Not much to complain about.
Is that the gadget that you won from the auction?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you just paid for it, like, after the fact, or?
Well, Carrie, I was going to pay for it, and then I never did.
Okay.
Carrie's like, well, this is part of your Christmas, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that works. And then we found these awesome, like, 70s era, like, almost, they're like, I want to say they're almost like glass bookcases, but they're very 70s-ish. Like, I looked at them and was like, oh, my God, these are ancient, but they are perfect. So we found them at Goodwill and bought them for, like, $40 a piece and, you know, drove them home in the truck as I'm, you know, I had to sit in the back of my truck bed nestled between these two cabinets with my arms wrapped around them because we had them strapped, but still, like, my truck bed's only so long, so these things stuck out the back, and I was like, well, I'll sit back here, and I'll hold on to these, and that was the scariest drive home in the world, because all you could see was the road, and I was like, I'm going to die back here. This is it. This is the end of me. I'm going to end my days falling out of this truck, trying to hold on to one of these display cabinets, and pray to God that somebody doesn't hit me, but they probably will. So that was fun. That was fun times. Other than that though, it was a fun Christmas. But there's like I said, we've been gone for 2 weeks. There's lots of stuff that's happened in those 2 weeks. One of the things was the supposed end of the world. Das, do you have anything to say about the end of the Mayan calendar?
Start of a new era. I don't know. The Baron era.
Oh. I like that.
I've always told you we were going to end up working for him one of these days.
Oh my God! It's like the Mayan calendar goes bye-bye and the Baron calendar begins, and it's just there's going to be some weird calendar days in that, aren't there? Some weird national holidays and.
Yeah, I'll have Sven contact you.
Oh, good. I have not met Sven yet. I'm worried. Is he muscle?
No. Sven's my little entertainer friend.
Oh no! I've seen pictures of Sven. Big hair, mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to meet Sven. Now that you mention it. I had to think there for a second. I was like, Sven. I'm thinking, didn't he die in Voltron? But wrong Sven. Yeah. Sven, I've seen video of Sven. Sven's a trip.
Yeah, I'm working on some dates where I can take him on the road, so.
Oh. So wait, are you managing Sven now?
More or less.
Really? It's almost like a very Andy Kaufman.
I was trying to think of the guy's name. Is it Tony Clifton?
Tony Clifton, yeah. So you're Tony's Andy, basically. You're rolling around, you know, opening for him some days, and he just takes over and.
More or less. I mean, you know, wow. I mean, I remember seeing specials about him like back in the 90s on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And completely forgot about it, and then my one friend points out. Oh, yeah, remember that? Ah, crap.
No way. Dude, everything has been done before. It's just a matter of putting your own spin on it. Trust me. When you know, how many years did I work for New Midwest Wrestling before I, like, just stopped? I think almost 7 years, 8 years, and it's like on that. I think we did one thing that had never been done before, and everything else is just regurgitated nonsense that we have to put your own spin on to because it's like everything's been done. Like, that's why Hollywood's regurgitating. I think I just saw test footage for a Hong Kong live action.
Hong Kong Fu, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah, I saw those this morning. I was like, oh, wow, those are bad. Those are, although the Marvin the Martian one was fun, but then again, it's like this shouldn't happen.
Like, could you really carry an entire movie?
No, not at all.
Yeah, but I don't think they picked up those. I think those were like failed tests. Like,
they were, thank God. Thank God Warner Brothers was like, yeah, these aren't that great. We should get rid of these. But it's like, why would you use Eddie Murphy as Hong Kong Fooey? Why wouldn't you find somebody that sounds like
Scatman Crothers is dead.
But Das knows this. How many voice actors are there in this nation that can do a Scatman Crothers?
Okay, poster, though. That's the thing. It's like, Eddie Murphy is Hong Kong Fooey. You know, it's Eddie Murphy, Hong Kong Fooey. You know, as opposed to, you know, some really talented voice actor that unfortunately the public hasn't heard of. It's
right.
It's how you sell the movie.
But you know, it doesn't matter. I don't know.
I was just mad that Spot was like an all black cat instead of like yellow and black stripes.
Yeah.
I would have boycotted that movie on that alone.
That goes back to my argument of Jazzwares. Talking Fred Flintstone, you pull that string and you're like, that's not Fred Flintstone at all.
Did you hear the Captain Caveman one?
Oh yeah, it's just
it is sad.
Oh my God, I'm like, what? You guys are working with the licensee. How can you not go to Warner Brothers and go, we need the voice actors for this. They just pulled somebody out of the office. Hey, that guy kind of sounds like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, we need to dig Mel Blanc up because we got a Captain Caveman toy. Have they even ever done Captain Caveman since? Well, they did that one episode of, I can't remember if he was on that Scooby-Doo one or not, but other than that, I don't think they've even ever done Captain Caveman since Mel Blanc's passed.
No, Captain Caveman hadn't been around forever.
Yeah, so.
It was a sad thing for me to hear in a toy aisle, and I just pulled that string and was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me, this is awful.
It sounds like the batteries are dying.
Yeah, oh yeah, no it does, very much so, Das. It's just like, it makes me cringe, and I'm just like, I'm pretty sure I know people that can do a better Fred Flintstone than this. This is piss poor. But the Mayan calendar ended, so that brought us to the new age, not the age of Das. Sorry, Das.
Only in my head.
Yes,
I'll just stroke my ego privately.
I'll let you do that in Uber privacy because that sounds dirty. That's just...
If you excuse me, I'm going to go stroke my ego a little bit.
I don't want to hear it.
Wow, you creeped Jason out. That's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, you out-squicked him. I
have a tendency to really gross people out sometimes. So.
You on the show all the time.
Oh, man, but we got an announcement. Just as midnight rolled around at the end of the world, which didn't happen, by the way, because we're all still here.
Yeah, neither did The Awakening. I was really pissed off.
Yeah, nope.
Nobody turned into orcs or trolls.
No Cthulhu.
No, not Cthulhu. So. It was Shadowrun. No orcs, no trolls, no dragon over Mount Fuji.
Sorry, Dave.
I know. That's all I was holding out for.
So
your hopes for a better fantasy tomorrow are never going to happen. Your live action Dungeons and Dragons.
No. It was a mix. That's what made it so brilliant. It was cyberpunk and fantasy together. That's what made it so awesome.
Oh my gosh!
And it will never happen.
We got an announcement thanks to the Four Horsemen Studios that the old Revell toy line, Power Lords, the one that we talked about in the past, but there was a lot of speculation with PowerLordsReturn.com was the website, and there was a counter just said Power Lords, the extraterrestrial warriors. And it's like there was a timer, and it's like, who's doing these? Who's doing these? Who's doing these? And then finally, you know, End of the World rolls around, and boom, at midnight, it's like the Four Horsemen Studios presents Power Lords. And it's like, oh, like the heavens parted. And the end of the world didn't happen, and God was like, this is what you've been waiting for. And it's like, oh. I was very excited. I was giggling at midnight on that day. I was like, it's like, look at the Four Horsemen are going to do Power Lords. This is going to be spectacular. I'm so excited.
Okay.
I might be one of the only few.
You might be.
But if you think about it, though, like Wayne Douglas Barlow, who, Dave, you should
know. I should know who Wayne Douglas Barlow is. Is he doing the figures for this? Is he doing the
Think about it, though. He's the one that originally designed the Vintage line. All of those characters were designed by Wayne Douglas Barlow.
Okay, well, suddenly just jumped up from not caring at all to, oh, ooh.
See, his book, what was it, the Extraterrestrial Encyclopedia?
He's got so many, but that's one of them, yeah.
Like the classic one. That book, when Revell wanted, they basically wanted to do a toy line based on that book, but he didn't own any of the copyrights to any of those characters. Like, they were owned by the book publisher or something.
Yeah, okay, so, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the guy to extraterrestrials. Yeah, okay.
Yes. So he designed all of these characters for Revell's Power Lords line and all of the vehicles and everything. He designed all of those, and that's why they have such that weird,
fantasy.
Yeah, that very funky sci-fi design. That's what always excited me, because I had that book when I was a kid, and I remember looking at it and going, this book's really neat, and then those figures came out. It was Barlow's Guides to Extraterrestrials. Yeah. You know, when those came out, it was like, oh, these figures were awesome. But yeah, like you said, Dave, you know that book as well as I do. And Das, have you ever seen that book?
No, I have not.
Well, I've got a couple of his other books, and that's why I was like, ooh, yeah, I know who
he is. Yeah, you should go, cause you should go look look at some of his artwork. Just go look up Wayne Barlow, and you'll see some of this, just this amazing. He had a real knack for very odd extraterrestrial.
Well, alien, making an alien design look like an alien design. Use the word alien as opposed to, you know, a dude with a piece of rubber, you know, glued to his forehead or skin painted green or, you know.
Exactly. So he designed all of these classic aliens for Revell's toy line. And he is actually, if I can find it, I want to say he is actually on the, he's the consultant for this
one.
Yes, he is. He is going to be the consultant.
Dang.
Actually, he'll be contributing too. He'll actually be contributing to the design. So more than likely, he's going to update some of the designs, and the horsemen are going to use their.
This literally went from zero interest to dang.
Here's where I get kind of sad. Because they announced, this wasn't in the original release, but it's they've updated it. And the paragraph reads as this: Four Horsemen have gone through a lot of time and effort to resurrect that long dead toy line that had left such an inedible mark in young Treadway, Eric Treadway, who's one of the Four Horsemen. He was kind of the big power behind getting this license and doing it.
I can see that.
They plan to bring back the line in all its glory, starting with a 3¾-inch scale line that would include a mix of traditional. A mix of traditional articulation and Glios compatibility.
Now Doss joins in.
Yes. Now, of course, they've had, you know, the Glios system has been such a huge success on its own, and then they did the Outer Spacemen, which they've continued to do new versions of these classic Outer Spacemen characters that were created by Colorform. So now they're going to add Power Lords into the Glios system, which is cool for Glios fans, but sucks for me because I want 6-inch figures.
Yeah. I mean, that's my figure size of choice.
Yeah, I mean, I love the fact they're going to be 3¾-inch and they're going to have traditional articulation and Glios compatibility, but it's like, I want an Atom Power 6-inch newly designed to stand to my 6-inch Adam Power vintage that I've got standing downstairs in my case. It's like, I want that figure. You know, I want these redesigned figures. And it, you know.
You don't think they'll do I'm anything still... like that, like a classics or whatever to like.
I would hope so. I hope that if, you know, these will sell because they're Glios.
Yeah.
People, they'll sell out immediately. Like, they'll be gone. If you're not on them, they're gone. Like, the whole Glios.
Yeah, see, that's the other reason that I'm not that interested is because it'll be an online thing. It'll be real limited. It'll be, you have to be there that day and order it right away. Like, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's kind of suck, but, what's that, Dustin?
Did they say they're going to do like a classics version of the old characters, or are they kind of spinning their own new take on it?
They are probably going to do more of a classic design on most of the characters with a little bit updated look, but as for doing like an actual classics line, there's no mention of that yet. They're saying that they're just starting out with the 3¾-inch line, which they'll probably show, which they will show actually at Toy Fair, at Toypocalypse, at their studios in New York. So they'll show those figures off to the Toy Fair, you know, to the reporters and stuff for the various sites and blogs at Toy Fair.
Okay.
And then we probably won't see those figures actually come out until closer to we'll get a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive figure that will probably be the launch of that line. But I mean, it's still very cool. You know, I'm not happy that they're going to be Glios. I will purchase them just because they are Power Lords. It's a vintage line. It's like, this is, you know, something I didn't think would ever return, because this is a toy line I remember having as a child and remember loving. You know, I had an Adam Power. I had a bunch of the different characters. You know, I had the Arcus, which was the big kind of bat insect looking creature. I had a lot of this toy line, and it's cool for me because that was kind of the toy line that my mom would buy for me, because they were cheaper than most other action figures at the time. Because Revell, I think they were like maybe $1.99 or $2.99, whereas Masters figures were $3.99, almost $4. So a lot of times, you know, since I come, you know, from my being raised by a single mom, these were the figures that she would buy me when we were out at, you know, at Kmart or in Zares or somewhere that had these. These were the figures I would get over Masters, and these, you know, they matched right along with my Masters figures, and just a really, really cool line, and something that I'm super, super excited about and super pumped for.
Yeah, all these aliens designs are really neat, and then just knowing that the Horsemen are going to do it, I just...
Exactly. Two great tastes great together.
This is one of those things of theirs. It's like, oh, I'm going to have to get on this.
Yes. Griptog, I can't wait to see what they do with Griptog, who is He's the big hulking, you know, he's got four hands, but he doesn't have four arms. He's got two arms and two hands on each arm, and it's like, oh, dude, I can't wait. Just some of the crazies, like Psydot, who's like this lizard-looking scientist who I can't wait. Some of the other crazies they designed, like Disguisor and Drench. I actually have a vintage Drench without his backpack and stuff, but it's like, oh, man, I can't wait for some of these crazy characters. Cannot wait. I'm so excited. I love when vintage stuff like this Super Sevens alien line that they're bringing out that never happened when Kenner did the line originally.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from that in a while.
Not since Comic-Con, I haven't. As far as I know, it's still happening. It's still on their website. So I imagine that'll be another thing where, you know, they introduced it last year. It usually takes about a year of development and production before. So we'll probably see the first figure come out as a Comic-Con exclusive this year too, probably. So you're going to see a lot of these, like Power Lords and probably like Alien from Super 7. That kind of stuff is going to be launched at Comic-Con, because that's their biggest foothold in the community, the toy community and, you know, the geek community, plain and simple. It's like, launch to Comic-Con, get people interested in it, and then launch it online like they usually do, and it'll sell. So,
oh, yeah, the Alien stuff will sell, because Alien toys are like, speaking as someone who's gone back and picked up a lot, those things just, there aren't a lot of them. Aside from that one Kenner line in the 90s, Alien toys almost always just end up being very rare and super expensive and selling out very quick.
Yes, exactly. Can't wait. Hot Toys had a bunch of announcements while we've been on. Oh, yeah, they've had some. One of the things that landed today... Mm. Was of course no surprise that they locked down the Iron Man 3 license with a little brief sampling of the new armor in Iron Man 3. So that was kind of neat. But they also announced they're doing these awesome 1/6 scale environment displays, the Hall of Armor environment displays, which actually are very, very cool looking.
Okay, so it's just a display? Like,
yes,
I thought it was literally like a thing with the four armors.
No. They're all going to be sold separately.
They say how much they're going to cost?
Like a couple hundred.
There's no price on it. Yeah,
No. It's up for pre-order at some places, and it's a couple hundred.
That sucks because they're as.
That's
much...
why I thought the armors were with them. I was like, you know, like, well, for four armors, that's not ridiculous, but.
Yeah, they're each Hall of Armor, which is coming out second quarter 2013. Has LED light-up functions, suitable for all the Hot Toys 1/6 scale Iron Man collectible figures. Figures are not included and sold separately. Transparent. It's got a transparent acrylic plate that has stickers, that has different sets of stickers, seven types of stickers for all seven types of armor that you can stick on the acrylic plate. Then the acrylic plate slides in front of the diorama so it appears when it's lit up like you've got this great hologram effect going on over the armor, which is really cool.
Apparently it's modular. I didn't realize that.
Yes, they are modular.
So
they can be
a single one is at one store. I can't speak for every online store, but it's listed at $124 for one, and then a set of four for $434.
It's not terrible. I mean,
no, it's not terrible.
It's something I might actually look into purchasing because
armors,
I've got the first three armors from the first film, so it's like that's all I want is those environments for that first three,
She's never going to let you spend like $300-$400 on little cases for your armor. That's not going to happen. That's going to be one of those things. That box is going to show up at my doorstep, I suspect.
I can dream, right?
Yeah.
Adas, are you heavily into Hot Toys? Have you bought any in the past?
I follow the news. I don't have any yet.
They're sweet. Yeah.
My local comic book shop carries some of them, and there's that Nicholson Joker, and I want it so bad.
So cool. Love it. It's a very cool toy.
I mean, in a lot of ways with Hot Toys, it comes down to if you... You know, I know a lot of people that just collect Hot Toys figures, and it's like, that's great if that's the only thing you collect because you don't, I mean...
Yeah, it's like,
you know,
Lego. It's one of those things. It's like, if that's all you collect, then you can maybe afford to be able to keep up with it. But, you collect anything else, and it's suddenly like...
Yeah, there's no way. It's like, you can't, you know, you figure out a regular Hot Toys figure is anywhere from $220 to $300, and it's like, they come out, I don't know, they probably have... 7 or 8 figures a year.
Oh, more than that, I would think.
Yeah, I think
more than that.
They've been like that for like the Avengers.
Yeah, for like the past year, they've been cranking out something new every 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous pace.
It's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money. That's like we've said before. That's like being just a Sideshow collectibles collector and buying everything Sideshow does.
Oh, and I got a. It was neat. Sideshow sent me an email saying that Bossk is going to be coming out fairly soon.
Oh.
So get your credit card ready. It's like, okay, it is.
You're
it's
like,
in January, it's... and so I made sure it was paid off.
Wow.
Does it come with actual Wookiee hair?
No, I wish it did. Like, I'm sure Boba Fett came with actual Wookiee scalps, but I did get the Sideshow one, so it's got, like, the alternate head, so I'm happy about that.
The angry, screaming head?
Angry, screaming head.
Yes. That's awesome. And then you should be getting Baroness later this year, correct?
I think they said the orders... Like I told you on the text, I think the orders are coming up in the spring sometime. Like, I think it's March or May. It's one of the M ones. But, yeah. Because you keep getting confused because there's the premium format one. But the regular 6-inch scale one is soon. The G.I. Joe people have been, like, kind of... tapping their fingers, like, when is this thing coming out, Sideshow? We want to order... So soon.
It's one of those things like
probably be April because like April is going to be the most expensive month of my life. So there's that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, no, it's we got C2E2, we got King County JoeCon, which I'm going to go to. So and then maybe a trip with a girlfriend too. Like in between those, she's like, we need to go to California. And I'm like, no, we don't.
Well, Das, you're close to New York, aren't you?
Yes, about 2 hours.
Yeah, so I'm surprised. How many times have you gone to New York Comic Con out there?
only once.
Really?
Yeah, the last time I went was 2008. I went as
I remember that because like that's the year that I went too. So we were.
I was only there for the Japanese concert. So.
Oh, okay.
This is before I got like full head into comics.
I gotcha.
I went to the Stan Lee panel.
I saw him in I didn't see him right up close, but we have Wizard World in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So you know I go to that every year or so.
Which you say Wizard World, and that actually brings me to my next point that I actually didn't inform you guys on this, but Wizard World, of course, has been doing Comic-Cons all over the country now, but they added two this year. They added Nashville, which doesn't affect any of us, and Dave, they announced that they're doing a St. Louis Comic-Con.
Now, this is a Wizard World one, right? That's different.
Yes, it is. It's a Wizard World Comic-Con, but still, it's like there's a St. Louis Comic-Con now that's closer than Chicago, which is spectacular. So,
well, okay, when is that?
It's as close to, March 22nd.
Oh, see, I knew it'd be around April. Why would it not?
But at least it's St. Louis. We could always just drive there and drive home. It's not like, you know. But look, Jason David Frank's going to be there.
Ooh.
Him! Yeah!
With all his new tattoos.
I have no idea who that is.
Green Ranger.
Tommy from, Power Rangers? Duh. Duh.
I was in college.
I forget I'm the young one here.
Well, that's all right, Doss. Stan Lee is going to be there.
Who?
Billy D.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Now we're going.
I know. James Marsters, Dean Cain, Ernie Hudson.
Wow.
I know, right?
He was at Wizard World 1 year, and I saw him like, wow, you look really good since, for the past 25 years. He almost looks exactly the same.
Ernie, he's aged very gracefully. So is Billy D. If you look at pictures of Billy D, you're like, damn, Billy D's like, in his 60s?
I think he's looking better now than he did a couple years ago.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, he's lost a little weight. Billy D.
All I can think of is that warm side of the pillow. Oh, no, cool side of the pillow.
Cool side of the pillow. And a Colt 45.
45!
Billy D. Yeah, Jason David Frank frightens me now.
Sure, him.
He's scary looking. He's got he's an MMA fighter. He's got tattoos. It's like, you were Tommy.
Yeah.
You were my childhood.
Oh, he was Tommy. Okay.
Yeah, he was Tommy. He was the Green Ranger.
So, yeah.
He was the love interest to the Pink Ranger for a long time.
Was he?
Yeah. Until they wrote her off and gave him Australian?
Yes, she was Australian.
It was like Jane
Cat.
Yeah.
That I remember.
Hello, I'm Cat. How are you? That's my Australian accent. It's pretty piss poor, actually.
Hey, I usually pick up the phones at work with an Australian accent anyway.
That's awesome.
I know. I have to get away with murder there.
I'm going to have to call your Toys R Us one day and be like, hi, hello, how are you? Hi.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing? You've reached Toys R Us's Ozone. What can I do for you today?
That's a good Australian accent.
That's awesome. I walked into my Toys R Us last night for a little bit and was like, I don't miss this company at all.
Yeah, I wish I could say that.
Yep. Give it time, sir.
Yeah, I would not say that until you've left and are no longer employed with them.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm trying to find the ways to get out of there because I'm taking all these classes and whatnot. So,
well, it's good. Yeah, it's good for you while you're in classes and stuff. But I did 12 years.
Yeah, I'm just about three, so I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm ready to kill everyone.
Yeah, no, I was too. Yep. That Toys R Us was the what caused my emotional outbreak, and I destroyed lots of things in my R zone. It was very fun.
Hey, I get to wear a bow tie. So.
Oh, sweet!
You get to wear a bow tie.
Yeah, our head manager actually understands my sense of humor.
Oh,
so
awesome.
For Christmas season, like right after Black Friday, I started wearing a bow tie. So I said, okay, I'm gonna let this go. After Christmas, I'm gonna retire it. And in the mail, I have an ascot coming.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I need pictures. I want to see pictures of that. That's going to be awesome. Ascot and a bow tie. Bow ties are cool.
Yeah.
Bow ties are very cool. I love it. But I got off course here with the talking about comic conventions. The other Hot Toys thing that came out was they finally did announce that they were doing the, in conjunction with Hasbro, they were doing the G.I. Joe Retaliation line.
Yeah, I saw that.
So the first release, and they released pictures of it, is Snake Eyes. Have you guys seen the pictures of Snake Eyes?
No.
I haven't seen any photos.
Yeah, you should.
I figured it would be Roadblock, but.
Nope, it's Snake Eyes is the first figure out the gate, more than likely because they couldn't...
Still have those stupid-ass lips?
No, not at all. Go to our good friend Jay Cochran's site, Toy News International.
All
right. Should be one of the first stories while we're recording there. You guys can see it. Those of you listening at home playing the home game can find that by going to toynewseye.com, and you'll see... Sideshow, or you'll see G.I. Joe Retaliation Hot Toys.
I saw the article. I didn't see any photos from
it. Yeah, I saw an article about it, but I mean, they used the picture of the poster, and I was like, I figured it would be The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock. And they said they're doing it through Sideshow, right?
They're releasing it through Sideshow, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I think I'm looking at it now.
Should be the fourth news item down currently on ToyNewsEye.com.
One-fourth scale Predator figures. It's the fifth.
Nope.
You're wrong.
Go down one more.
Why do you lie? Why do you go lie to our fans?
Look down one more, Dave.
It's the fifth. Yes, I know. You were
they
wrong.
Added a new one. Oh, here we go. Oh. Yeah.
He doesn't have lips, though, Dave.
Okay, yes. There you go. He doesn't have lips. I mean, it's not a knock on the toy itself. The toy looks fantastic. It's a fantastic representation of a design that I'm about.
Yeah, he looks kind of generic.
It's like armor and then pants.
True.
And that's been the look for Snake Eyes in a lot of things lately. Like sort of an upper ninja part and then the lower part just pants. And it's like, So, meh. I mean, when they do Cobra Commander, I'll be all, I want that one. But
yeah, that'll be pretty sweet.
I figured maybe you'd want Joe Colton.
You know, the thing is, since I really don't have a lot of other G.I. Joes in that scale, I can live without the Bruce Willis figure. I mean, in the 3 3/4 inch scale, he's essential. In this sort of Hot Toys 12 inch scale, I'm like, Cobra Commander would be super cool because it's a really cool design. I love the trench coat and the helmet and stuff, but you know, Bruce Willis in a t-shirt, I can live without.
I saw lots of Bruce Willis in a t-shirt last night. We watched Looper. Looper!
Oh, yeah, was that good?
Looper is wonderful. I suggest anyone that enjoys time travel movies watch Looper because it's spectacular.
Yeah, I wanted to see it. I think my parents just rented it.
Great. Oh, watch it. It's great.
And I think they just took it back today, too.
No!
Netflix. I'll look it up on Netflix.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I had a friend who saw it, but he's not a real kind of nerd type, so he was confused by it.
Mm-hmm.
So he did not recommend it heartily.
My wife is usually that way, but she was very Carrie was very caught up in it last night to the point where she just paid attention to the entire movie. Usually she'll fiddle with her phone or she'll play on the tablet or something while watching the movie, but she just like sat there and watched the entire time going, oh, I don't believe this is happening. Like all the main points, she'd be like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, this is a good movie then. If my wife is entertained, it's a good movie. You know, there's something you guys listening don't know. You probably heard us talk about it, but our good buddy Ados Barone is actually a TV star of sorts. You actually got a little segment on Comic Book Men this season, which I thought was pretty fascinating.
Yes, I did.
How did that come about? Producers looking for people to come to the shop?
Yeah, a friend and I were at Wizard World Philadelphia this year, and they had signups, and we both signed up, and. I mean, granted, I have a mouth on me too, but I was able to keep my mouth shut in front of these people. And it's like, oh, and the guy's trying to sell it to us. Oh, yeah, you know, we're Kevin Smith's shop. We're in Jersey. And my one friend just turns, oh, and he starts giving him shit for being from Jersey.
Well, that's smart. It's like, a good way to get cool, it on man. TV.
You're not going to get on this way.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's...
Call me back.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, that was a little fun segment, though. I thought, for a moment, for those of you who didn't watch... basically what happens is Ming bought some Thundercats figures and showed them to Walt, and Walt, of course, you know, is like, what the fuck are these? What are you doing? And Ming's like, oh, they'll sell. And he's like, they better sell, Ming. And here comes, you know, in through the door comes our buddy Das, and he's like, how much for the Thundercats figures? And I thought for a second they're watching that at one moment, like, I think you had said, I think the exact words out of your mouth were like, dude, something about these. I've seen these for $75 or something like that. And I remember Brian looking at you and going, "Why don't you buy them there then?" And I was like, "Oh shit, here we go." I was like, "Oh crap." I was like, "It's going to be a war of the words between Ados and Brian. This is going to be
well." Actually, there was.
Oh really?
They cut it out though. It was more of a one-sided thing. If you remember, they said, oh, to each other, what Thundercat character do you think you were? And, you know, they go, oh, I thought it was Lionel, this. And then they weren't sure which one Brian was going to be. And I said, oh, you're like Snarf, the one nobody likes.
That's awesome.
Cold, man. Cold.
I'm a bitch. Oh,
that's awesome.
I can't believe they cut that.
Yeah.
But that it was a fun little segment. It was nice to see. It was nice to see somebody we knew like on that show, because it's weird, because Comic Book Men, I see, you know, the same with Toy Hunter, as I see a lot of grief for both shows. It's like certain parts of the fandom bitch and moan, and you can tell it has a lot of to do with things, you know, just basically packed with jealousy. And you see a lot of why are they doing this show? Me and my friends would be so much better, and blah blah blah. And it's like those shows get a lot of bad rap over people like that. But two of the most entertaining shows that I love to watch are Comic Book Men and Toy Hunter. And it's like I was like, I know that guy on Comic Book Men. This is awesome.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember Carrie and I were like, I was like, hey, Das is going to be on Comic Book Men tonight. She's like, really? I'm like, oh yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I think I'm up to speed on all of Toy Hunter. I remember the pilot episode. Mallory and I were watching it one night, and it was, or at least to me, obviously, it was like porn. And she's holding me down, basically, because I'm freaking out at these unpunched 70s Star Wars toys.
Yes. Dude, that's always been the... I mean, that was one of the things, you know, one of the reasons why we watched Collection Intervention. That was such an awful show, but
yes,
it was. I want to see people's collections. That's what I want to see. And it's like, that's the only reason we watch Collection Intervention. And when that show got canceled, I'm like, no big loss. Mm-hmm. Toy Hunter's still on the air. I can still get my fix of seeing what other people have. And, you know, this season of Toy Hunter was great, because especially the Christmas episode where they were out looking for misfit toys, it's like he was coming across so much stuff that I was like, I didn't know that existed. That's awesome. Like, Dave, he came across this big, I think they were sold in the late 50s, early 60s. It was like this big air bazooka. And it got recalled because you would basically air it up so much and then pull the trigger, and it made a noise so loud that it was like blowing people's eardrums.
Wow.
I was like, I want one of those.
I think I know which one you're talking about. Well, did they feature an air bazooka on another episode too?
They did. They had one of those like cheesy little ones.
That's what I'm thinking
of. Pull bag and it goes.
Yeah, and they break in 5 minutes.
Yes, this actually looked like a bazooka. Like it was a big gun.
Nice.
And you just, you know, you pump it up like 3 or 4 times, and you pull the trigger, and just the way it was built and the sound that came out of it was just deafening. I'm like, I want one of those. I'll never find one, but I want one. Good shows, though. I was, like I said, I was very happy. I was like, I know the guy that's on Comic Book Bin tonight. This is awesome. It was a good time. But it was a good experience for you. They were all pretty decent guys when the cameras weren't rolling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Brian's actually a lot nicer in person than he appears on the TV show.
Oh, yeah. I kind of figured. I listened to their podcast a lot, to Tell Them Steve Dave, which is basically Walt and Brian, and then Bri-Q from Impractical Jokers on, what are they on, Truth TV or something?
True
TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, True TV. And you kind of hear it, you know, he's a grumpy guy, but he's kind of like Dave. He's a big, big grumpy exterior, heart of gold.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, Dave. That heart of gold. Good times, good times.
Okay, so I have I actually have a topic/question. Have you guys seen the commercials for, assuming that we're moving on?
Go ahead, Dave.
Lego thing called Chima.
That's exactly what I want to get to.
Because, like, I saw that and I'm like, ooh, Dave's
I
in trouble.
I am super pissed off about that.
Really?
Really?
I'm excited about it. I think it's cool.
Have you seen the commercial for it?
I've seen a commercial for it, yeah.
Okay. So if you take a good look at it, the main lion character...
Looks like Lion-O.
The redesigned Lion-O.
Yeah,
and the story... is just like the new Thundercats series.
Very much. I was going to say it's like a combination of – it's like they did Thundercats / Battle Beasts.
Yeah.
Like Lego said, hey, if you guys aren't going to use Battle Beasts, we'll do our own. Yeah. And you're
I'll
mad
be
about
damned
this?
If this thing takes off and Thundercats won't.
Okay.
Well, you know, but the problem was with Thundercats is that Bandai America did not care. Yeah. Like, they literally did not care. Yeah. They
how
shoved
that
those toys out.
That Bandai treated this thing like poop, and then they put the cartoon on Cartoon Network. Although the Chima one will be on Cartoon Network too, probably replacing Ninjago, I would bet.
Yeah. But if that takes off, it's going to be like a hot poker jammed in my eye.
Oh.
Well, I mean,
just pretend that it's Lego Thundercats. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we saw a commercial. Matt, it's Lego Thunder. No, it's not.
You don't even care about the Lion Guys. I'm like Crocodile Dudes, man. I'm gonna have every Crocodile Dude set.
Yeah, I saw those were getting big. Like they were in the ads the other day, and I was like, oh, I haven't heard about this. And I started looking at them, and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, they dropped like a week ago or so.
Yeah, I was like, between that and the Ninja Turtles Legos that are out now, it's like. And they're going to be doing Back to the Future Legos.
They're
going
to
like,
do a set. Like,
well, they may
that,
do more.
Well, maybe, but if you read that, it's going to be and it's going to be offered like online.
Yeah, or, I didn't think that would be in stores.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those things like you got to be there to get when it comes out. It's not like they have the Back to the Future line. It's a contest they do, and the design that wins, and they didn't even have the rights yet. They were talking about they had to secure the rights and yada yada and. So I think people are maybe getting their carts before the horse on the Back to the Future thing. Mm-hmm. Like Lego's like, yeah, we're gonna try to make this happen for the set. So
kind of like the Mattel toys that haven't taken off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That great line that will not feature the most important piece of the entire trilogy, the car.
Yeah. Oh, but here's a hoverboard.
Oh yeah, the hoverboard.
Lots of good stuff going on with Mattel these days.
Oh, man. You know, when you were talking about, we're talking about the Power Lords, I'm like, so that's what the Four Horsemen have been doing instead of, like, sculpting for Mattel. Because I just got the penguin that you really want? The Superpowers penguin?
The repainted.
Well, it's not a repaint because it's got a new head.
Ooh, oh, really?
And it is not a Four Horsemen head. It's just like the Movie Masters for Dark Knight Rises, where, like,
God,
you can tell. Like, the body's all repaint, and then the head is a new sculpt, and it's very generic and very soft. And I mean, it's nice that they gave it a new head that looks more like the Superpowers head, but it's not as good as a Four Horsemen sculpt. And it's just like, oh, seriously?
Did they change the head from when they showed it off?
That I can't tell. It's different than the Classics one, because I have the Classics
right.
one.
I need that Classics one.
Well, that sucks.
But yeah, oh no, it's a much weaker sculpt than even the. I mean, I don't like the sculpt of the Classics one, but it's like at least it's done well. You know, I don't like the design, but the sculpt is done well.
Right.
It's just it's very. I mean, if you looked at any of the Dark Knight Rises movie masters, you know that meld of like Four Horsemen body and new head sculpt. That's what it is.
Rats.
With about the same result. Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, weak. Super weak.
So it looks like this new Lego line is probably going to be pretty successful then, you think?
I'm going to buy the crap out of it.
DOS will burn them from the Toys R Us aisles. What happened to all the Legos?
That's not fair, man. You're blaming them for Bandai's mistake. Burn Bandai stuff.
I know. I'm just bitter.
Well, but just, like I said, pretend that it's the... Lego Thundercats. I mean,
I think what the worst part about all the Thundercats nonsense that we went through this last year was that because of Bandai's utter failure to, I don't want to say coddle the license, but actually do the license correctly and, you know, do the kids line and then do the collector line like it should have been done instead of changing scales and everything else. What the saddest part about that line dying and the cartoon going away is now that these other companies that were doing the statues and stuff, they've started canceling all of their Thundercat stuff because no one's buying the stuff.
Yeah,
the statues were always bad, though.
They got better, though.
They were overpriced, but they started out with really crummy early ones. That's never good. I mean,
they were pretty lousy.
The first couple were awful.
And they were overpriced.
Lino.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And the thing is, Lino's an important character, so if your Lino sucks, it doesn't matter if, Link's always great. Lino sucks. You're not going to keep up with it.
Yeah, that was...
That line just got, like, manhandled. Yeah. Like
the Minimates are really nice.
Yeah, no, the Minimates are great. Like, those are really nice. I've only got the first set of those, but... Yeah, those are really well done, but yeah, everything else is just...
Yeah, okay, but Minimates are hard to screw up anyway, because it's there's not even a sculpt to it, it's just you paint the face on, so... Right.
True. Yeah, the Legends of Chima, there's a lot of cool stuff out, man. There's the Krager's command ship, which is awesome.
Yeah. Although I'm, has a lot of... I really wonder if LEGO is going to get sued by Bandai, or maybe Diamond Select, because, I mean, it really does feel like... Especially, like you said, the lion guy looks like the modern Lion-O design. Yeah,
red hair, blue outfit.
Yeah, I mean, I would be shocked if they get away without any kind of lawsuit.
Well, I mean, we'll see. LEGO's pretty good at, you know, avoiding those types of things. So, I guess we'll just wait and see. But yeah, they look.
I just want my crocodile dudes. I just want an army of little crocodile dudes, and I'll be happy.
Very much like, you know, God, it's scary. They even got the jewel in the center of their chest and everything.
Some of them do, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I hadn't actually taken a close look at them until you guys brought them up, and I've been sitting here as we've been talking, looking at...
But it does. It feels like Battle Beasts, and it does feel like the modern Thundercat storyline, where you've got the different tribes of, you know, specific animal-themed characters.
Right.
So... But
I don't know. I think Lego sets, if they would get cheaper, I would probably buy a couple more. But, you know, I really want to get the turtle sets, and it's like, I don't want to,
it's,
you know.
Like $70 for the Shellraiser?
Yeah, okay. There's no way. I'm like, that's too much money.
And is there a set with Donatello? Like, I looked at the ones at Toys R Us, and none of them had Don. Like,
who comes with the Shredder one? Is it Don
that
or Leo?
That would be Donatello, I think.
Okay.
I don't think we had that one when I was there.
Yeah. Because Michelangelo comes with the little...
comes with the Krang.
Yeah, I just bought that. So.
Yeah, I did. I got that last week.
And then I think Raphael comes with Fish Head.
Okay.
Like there's
I know Leo comes with the Shellraiser, and he comes... Like, Leo comes with two sets, and Mikey comes with two sets. I know that. Oh, well.
Oh, Lego... Why do you make collectors spend so much money for your cool stuff?
Because it's cool. It's worth it. At least it's one of those things that, like, at the end of the day, you're like, okay, I spent a lot of money on this, but I really, for the most part, especially with a big set, you feel like you got your money's worth. You know, you got a cool toy, you killed an afternoon putting it together, it looks neat. Those things have resale value, like crazy. So, overall...
Yeah, that's true.
Well, there was that recent, what was it, Jabba's Palace
set? Oh, please.
It was like $150, and then I see it there assembled in the little glass case, and it's so puny.
It is smallish, yeah.
$150.
Yeah, it's super tiny. That's the problem with Legos, is that the boxes look so big, and you start putting those pieces together, and you're like, oh, shit, there's, like, nothing here.
Yeah, I mean, at least the Falcon was substantial.
Yes. Of course, you know, but, I mean, I guess in their defense, they've made some big sets in the past, you know, the Death Star was a huge, huge set. You know, I mean, it was only a line set, but still, it's like, there. You know, but yeah, most of their stuff, you start looking at it, and you're like, oh, these are really tiny. Why am I spending so much money on these again? I mean, that's the sad part with Lego, and it's always been the sad part of Lego.
Lego's always been pricey.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Even in the 80s, it was, you know. Any of those sets were still... The prices have never really changed on them. They're still, you know... I remember there were a lot of $80 to $100 sets in the 80s, too, that were, you know, the train... The motorized train was a big one. I think that was a $100 set when it came out. It's just the pricing has never changed on Lego stuff. And like Dave said, you know, the value never goes away with it. It's always, the value's always there for Lego stuff, which amazes the hell out of me. I mean, you know, you've got collectors like, you know, like our old friend Killen, who he has a basement full of this stuff because he was buying cases of the stuff and just putting them away because he knew, he's like, they're going to be, you know, it doesn't matter when I put these out, I'm going to make my money back on them eventually. And it's like, if you have the money to do that, that's awesome. But for those of us that are like, $100 for a Lego set, kind of sucks.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was a set that, like, literally within a year, there was a Batman set with the Batmobile that I wanted. And I didn't pick it up. And, like, now it's like $200, $300. It's crazy.
It's nuts, dude. It's so ridiculous. Certain sets are just, you know, once they're out of, you know, once they're out of production, they go up hundreds of dollars, and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I don't collect Legos, guys. I can't I can't do it. I can't afford it.
Well, it's I bought some of the Batman ones in the past, I guess, since they came out, and that was the first Lego set I've had in like 20 years.
Mm. I don't think I've got a Lego set currently at all.
I pick up random ones here and there. Like when they did the, I got the one with Wolverine and Magneto. I did get the one with the Krang, the new Turtles one with the Krang, because I like the Krang.
Oh, neat.
So,
neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than a bunch of, like, Kinect sets sitting around, that's about the only building sets I have. And that's because Kinect likes me.
Oh.
They're like, here, Jason, review these. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, is their home base located near me? Because I thought someone told me that.
Somewhere, yeah. I can't remember where exactly, but yeah, it's pretty close to you. Pretty close. Oh, I just saw something before we go into fan questions that is interesting.
Yeah.
Apparently, Master Universe Classics, Robotos, and Gygors are showing up at Walmart stores.
What?
Yeah, hold on.
That's weirdly random.
Yeah. Let's take a look at this and see if it's just an isolated event. No, it's a whole end cap at a Walmart store.
What?
Where is this Walmart store? Where is this? Well, it's in Australia.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't mean anything.
That means something.
But yeah, it looks like maybe overseas customers. Yeah, there's a whole end cap of Robotos and Gygors. That's
no, because stuff like that happens. I know it happens with Star Wars, where there'll be like some kind of exclusive, and then it'll show up like in the UK as like a Toys R Us exclusive or something. It happens. That's weird. But it's not completely unprecedented.
I guess here's the weird thing is that if Mattel is dumping all of their extra product to these big box retailers like this, it's like that wasn't supposed to be part of the original, you know.
Well, that's why it's Australia, Jason.
There's
if they
there's
did it in America, it would be like there might even be lawsuits over it.
There's been a couple of those closeout stores here in the States that have had just tons of Maddie collector stuff, Superman master, the Superman 12-inch figures, you know, Ghostbusters figures, just like tons of the stuff.
Big Bad is advertising. They got like a Maddie warehouse closeout sale of like Justice League figures and some other stuff that's just like, hey, Maddie's dumping its warehouse and we're, you know, passing the expense on to you.
It's just so amazing to me, man. It's like, I see MaddieCollector.com going maybe another year, and that's it. And it's a dying dinosaur.
Which is weird, because I really, for about a year and a half there, I thought that was the future. I wasn't happy about it, but I really thought that was going to be the way of the future.
It would have been the future had they have done it correctly,
yeah,
and had they have had proper customer service everything else. Yeah,
the plan was solid. It was just that they went with, you know, we always pick on them, but we went with, what the hell is the name of those people?
Digital River.
Digital River. And I think that's, like you said, customer service just killed them. Having a terrible, terrible partner just killed the whole concept.
Yeah.
So that guys like Blanchard will have nothing to do with them. I will only ever buy stuff from there like a week after stuff went on sale, and if it's still up there, you know? Like, I won't even mess with it day of sale.
Yeah, no, Castle Grayskull is pre-ordered, and that's it. That's all I'm buying from them. I mean, that's the extent of my Mattel Maddie buying. It's like, I'm not going to mess with you guys anymore. You're crappy. Sorry.
For me, there was that guy at Toy Man, which I think he's done. I think his subscription's up. But
no, he had some last time.
I didn't go last time. But, you know, he's been my guy. It's just like, you get a couple bucks more than, it's even less than shipping. Like, it's a little more than the actual price of the toy, but it's less than if you shipped it.
Yeah.
So it's like, screw it.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, let's roll into fan questions.
Fan questions?
Yeah. Our good buddy Reordin says, hey, guys, congrats on 50 episodes, and here's to 50 more.
Smooth. What points for leaving a space to actually insert the theme song down the road?
No, it's fine. With what... with what happened with the Mac, remember I told you I was going to change that. I haven't found the right music yet for it.
Okay.
With what happened with the Matty Collector hoverboard, what are your thoughts on Castle Grayskull? Speaking of Castle Grayskull, since it's another pre-order item, I'm worried it might suffer the same fate. I hope I'm wrong, and what they promise us is what they actually delivered. Now, everybody knows that the hoverboard, everybody kind of pre-ordered it almost sight unseen. They got a prototype. They got to see a prototype. But during the course of showing that prototype and releasing that item, most of the members on that team for the hoverboard were repurposed to other teams, and the people that were left to do it were left with limited funds and the design, so a lot of the elements got left out of this movie replica, to the point where the original producer of Back to the Future had bought like 19 of them for friends and family, and even he had gone on a message board to say...
He did it on his blog, didn't he?
Yeah, on his blog. He said, you know what, I'm sorry, I backed these guys, I shouldn't have. What they've released is a very, very poor product. You know, it really rubbed a lot of people wrong, and a lot of people were just like, this is ridiculous. Why would you release a product such as the hoverboard, which is supposed to be a movie replica, an accurate movie replica, and not have it accurately designed to its screen version?
Okay, well, here's that's actually, to me, the point, and that's why the Grayskull thing will be different, is the hoverboard was based on something that already existed. Right. So anybody can plug in their DVD of Back to the Future 2 and see what it's supposed to look like. And obviously, in an earlier episode of Dave and Duvall, I was a little hard on someone who was criticizing that, but the fact of the matter is that it is based on a real thing. There were real expectations for how this thing should look, and it should have looked that way. With Grayskull, it's, you know, I mean, it's going to have a skull on the face, and beyond that, whatever they do is whatever they do. You know, they promised a couple of features, but, you know, like, I guess there's a room with an orb, which, you know, but...
Isn't actually a room, they said, but...
Well, you know what, there was a little thing with an orb, but the point being that, you know... It's whatever they make it. I mean, you know, you're buying that regardless. It's Castle Grayskull, and it's going to be Castle Grayskull, you know.
Right.
So there is a big difference there. I mean, whatever you get in the end, I think will probably satisfy Masters fans, because it's Castle Grayskull. As long as it's not like, you know, Halloween mask plastic cheap, you know, which is what I feared it would be. As long as it's decent plastic and it looks like Castle Grayskull and it's got a couple features, I think everybody's going to be happy with it. Where, like I said, the hoverboard looked like a specific thing and it should have looked like that, and it didn't. It was sold as a prop replica. So I think that's the big difference between the two.
Right.
Doss, how do you feel?
I'm kind of indifferent. I'm not really that big of a Back to the Future fan, but everything I've heard is total BS.
Well, yeah, they just kind of I don't know, Mattel rammed themselves headfirst into a wall with that.
Right.
And they already had piss poor, you know.
How much did you have to customer, pay for it? Like 120?
It was $120, $130 for that hoverboard. And you know what? It's neat. I've seen one in person. It's kind of cool looking, but then again, it's like all these prop replica guys that were buying this, and that's a whole different audience that you're now catering towards. And the prop replica guys are a little bit more hardcore than the toy guys. Yeah. I hate to tell you, those guys... They're paying big, big bucks for prop replicas or actual props at times from films. So they know what they're buying and they know what they should be getting. And when you start pissing that group of people off, it's suddenly like, oh, well, the toy people kind of will bitch and, you know, they're still going to buy our stuff. But these prop replica guys are like, we're not buying anything else from you people. I don't care if you ever do another prop replica, we're done. The Ghostbusters stuff was decent, was well done, but... They just screwed the pooch on the Back to the Future thing, and basically, they basically ran themselves out of the prop replica business. So they just didn't care.
And seriously, what's really sad is how hard was that thing to do properly? It's a piece. It's a flat piece of pink plastic. How hard was it to get that to look right? Really?
It shouldn't have been hard at all, because they had access to all of those props. They had access to the original props used. You know, all of the different versions of that hoverboard they used in the filming, from the hero board to the special effects board, everything else, they had access to all of that. They had access to the production designs. They had access to all of it. You know, they could have matched colors and everything else, and they just didn't. They just chose not to, because it would have cost them more money, and they decided to go the cheap route on it, and that's very, very sad that they did that. super sad. Yoda Soup says, hey, fellas, first I'd like to thank Dave for sharing pics of his collection each day on Facebook, which it's now on the forums, too, if you haven't seen it. You can go to the My Collection tab on the forums, and you can find Dave did for the month of December A through Z of his collection, which is a pretty entertaining look at Dave's collection.
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was 25 days of Christmas, and Christmas is a time of toys, so, you know.
Yeah, basically Dave did his own advent calendar, which was much cooler. As Yoda Soup says, tis a much better advent calendar than those old cardboard-tasting chocolates.
Yeah.
He says, very impressive collection, my friend. He says, two questions for you guys this week. One, which character appears most in your collection? David?
Honestly, I don't know. I would say it's probably a tie between Darth Vader, Cobra Commander, maybe Snake Eyes, which is ironic because none of those are particular favorites of mine. But but if you collect stars, you're going to end up with a lot of Darth Vader toys, whether you want them or not, because they're in 4-packs, they're in multi-packs, they come with vehicles. You're going to end up with Darth Vader. And again, with G.I. Joe, it's like you're going to end up with Cobra Commanders. You're going to end up with Snake Eyes. You know, I mean, so you end up with a lot of Dukes. You know, it's like if you collect Transformers, you're going to end up with a lot of Optimus Primes, and nowadays a lot of Bumblebees. It's just something that you can't get away from. Like, in terms of a character that I deliberately collect, I would say Bossk. I have a lot of Indiana Jones figures, so those would be two that I have a lot of on purpose, let me put it that way.
Das?
Let's see. I'm not even that much of a fan of them anymore, but I have a lot of Wolverine figures, just based on the fact that some of them actually look good. Let's see. Probably Batman, as I lean out to look at the rest of my collection. Batman, Ninja Turtles. Yeah, definitely Darth Vader.
I don't know what's the one character that appears most in my collection.
Yours is so eclectic. That it's, I can see where you wouldn't have like one recurring character, you know.
Yeah,
I got a lot of ponies.
Yeah, but you don't have one particular pony.
That's true. I don't.
And you don't even have ponies, really.
What's that?
Does glue count?
Glue does count. Oh God, I don't know. Yeah, I don't, you know, like Dave said. It's so eclectic that there's just not. I have bits and pieces of just about every toy line down there, so it's like. There's just like ones and twos of characters that I'm like, oh, I like this character, but I don't want to get this whole line. So it's like, you know, I have, you know, a couple of Rambo figures and, you know, a RoboCop figure or two and Swamp Thing. And it's like, that's.
I would almost say like you've got like three Iron Men. I mean, that might be no joke. That might be like a record for you.
Yeah, that's probably the three Hot Toys Iron Man are probably the one character that appears most in my collection.
But that's just the way you collect, you know. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's like I said, if you collect Star Wars, you're going to get a lot of Darth Vaders. If you collect G.I. Joe, you're going to get a lot of Cobra Commanders. If you collect Marvel, you're going to get a lot of Wolverines. But you don't collect that way. You collect toys from the 80s. So yeah. There's no one specific theme that you would end up being loaded up on a bunch of characters.
Sometimes I wish there was a theme. It's a mess down there.
Well, That's on you, Chief.
I know. It's scary. Yoda Soup's other question is, do you guys have any Christmas toys that you put out each year? Each year. Sorry.
I have a stuffed Grinch, which I actually didn't put out this year. My cleaning lady kind of gave me a hard time about that. She's like, the Grinch is now. That's about it. At this point, that's about it. So...
Das, anything you put out for Christmas time?
I have my Hallmark ornaments. When I was younger, before I got into any of that, I used to just pull out action figures and throw them on the tree.
Oh, nice.
So there was that when I covered them in Spider-Man toys. We have a Kermit, a talking Kermit that we bring out. And I just got the Heat Miser and Snow Miser pop vinyls.
Neat.
So I'm going to bring them out every year, definitely.
Awesome. We put out stuff at Christmas time, but I literally, the only thing that I have out that we make an effort to make sure is out is it lives in the Disney collection, but I've got the figure versions from Playing Mantis Mickey's Christmas Carol. Yeah. So I have that whole line, and it's just, it sits down in a case, but it's, when we actually put up a tree, it was one of the things that, and the, I have Shrek Christmas toys, and I have Rudolph toys, and those usually came out, but we didn't put a Christmas tree up in a couple of years because the cats like to try to eat things, and the dogs like to pee on tree skirts, and it just makes for a mess. So we just, we stopped putting up a tree and just kind of decorating random stuff around the house just so it's like, ah, it's Christmas Eve, put lights up. But
I can vouch for the dog Christmas tree skirt thing. Like that, yeah. That I know from experience.
Yeah, not fun, is it?
No, and it's a terrible idea if you have like some kind of antique, fancy-pantsy Christmas tree skirt and yes. a dog. Those yes. two things do not go together.
Yoda goes on to say, finishes out, he said, lastly, it was around a year ago that I stumbled upon what would become my most looked forward to podcast each week. Dave and Naval, not only have you entertained me, you've educated me on stuff I didn't know about toys and unknowingly helped me through a tough time this past spring. Thank you. Congratulations on 50 episodes. I'm proud to say I've been with you since the start. Keep them coming, and remember, always play with your toys like no one is watching. Yoda Soup out. Aw, thanks, Yoda.
Thank you, Yoda.
And then Riordan actually comes back, and he says, hey, guys, happy new year to you both. What are your thoughts on the Hobbit movie? Go ahead, Dave. You can talk for now.
Well, have you seen the Hobbit movie?
No, not yet.
Okay. Do you want to?
I don't have any desire to, but I'm sure I'll see it eventually.
I was going to say, because I do want to see it again sometime. Okay, so I'm the only one who's seen it. I was really disappointed.
I've heard that a lot.
To the point that I... And Jackson deliberately does this. It has a very prequel-y... It feels almost like The Phantom Menace over again.
Ooh.
Except, the caveat I would put on that, it's The Phantom Menace done by someone who's a competent director and based on good source material, but it still has this very prequel-y feel to it, which annoyed me because The Hobbit was written first. So it's not right. a prequel to Lord of the Rings, but Peter Jackson does everything he can to do these little things, these little visual things to like make it there's a line that George Lucas has where he's like, it rhymes. It's like poetry. It rhymes. So that there's like little scenes that are like the exact same thing in The Hobbit that they were in The Lord of the Rings. It's visually similar. So yeah. They connect. And then there's the White Council scene that everybody hates, which is actually really bad. And it's just, it's very padded because unlike Lord of the Rings, which is, you know, like a billion-page book that they had to compress, you know, The Hobbit's a 300-page book that he's drawn out into three movies. He's changed stuff. There's this whole thing. It was like for about the first hour, I loved it. And then once I kind of got on the road, which ironically is when most people actually start to enjoy it and they hate the first part, but I like the first part. They just add stuff. They change the characters so that they're more proactive. You can just imagine them in a script meeting going, we need Bilbo to be more proactive. We need the dwarves to seem like less of a bunch of assholes. It's like, because in the book, obviously, everybody comes around at the end, you know? But we've got to make this one movie that covers, like, the first third of a book work as a movie so everybody will be different and more proactive and things and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, Thorin will come to respect Bilbo. And it's like, well, that happens at the end of the book. And it's just like, there was a lot of decisions that Jackson made that irritated the crap out of me. And it's really sad because this was a movie, as Jason can tell you, that I looked forward to like nobody's business, which is another reason that I draw the parallel between The Phantom Menace. It was another movie that I was so excited for and was really wanted to see. And it's just, he just changed stuff. He made it very Peter Jackson-y. He made it very prequel-y. He padded it. There's all these weird, there's this whole thing about like when they go to Rivendell, whether or not they're going to be detained there, like held there against their will. And it's like, when did they pass the Patriot Act in Rivendell? What the hell? Who has the authority to hold these guys? I will say, like I said, I love about the first hour when they're in Hobbiton and it's all very twee and silly and cute and fluffy. And the ending shot, the movie ends with a shot of the Lonely Mountain and Smaug kind of starts to rise up from the treasure and his eye opens and it's like, ah, I forgive you! I forgive you everything, Peter! I will be first in line for the next movie. So there is that. I would like to see it again. Since now that my expectations are out of the way, I'd like to go and see the movie for what it is rather than deal with what I wanted it to be. And I think it would be better. Like I said, the performances are all very good. Jackson's a very good director. visually. I saw it in 24 frames per second. I didn't see the 48 stuff. You know, I really just to make the analogy, it's like The Phantom Menace, written by someone who can write and directed by someone who can direct, but at the end of the day, it still, partly it couldn't live up to my expectations, but it didn't, and it was just a disappointment.
Mm.
So, but I will see the next one, and I'll see the third one, so.
I mean, I'm really interested in seeing it. The only piece that I've seen was a clip that they showed on The Daily Show.
I didn't see that.
It was either Daily Show or Colbert, but it was a scene of Bilbo interacting with Gollum. But the thing that stood out to me, I'm assuming it was a finished scene, the backgrounds were just like episode 2 CG put in the back, and that was just driving me nuts.
That particular scene, I don't remember the CG being that bad. There are a couple of moments where the CG is like pre-Phantom Menace bad. There are one or two moments. There's a big chase scene, which of course is not in the book because there are no chase scenes in the book. But like Radagast the Brown and his bunny sled are being chased by these warg riders, and it's all just like really bad green screen and really bad CGI. And you're like, this is a major motion picture being released in 2012? Really? So that was that. There are a couple moments where the CGI is the effects aren't quite as good as you'd hope, but overall it's pretty good. I mean, and most people consider the scene with Bilbo and Gollum to be the highlight of the movie. Like they change stuff so things don't make sense. In the book, Gollum goes off to his little island and discovers that his ring is missing. In the movie, he's standing right there and can't find his ring. That's how Bilbo got a head start in the book. In the movie, you're right. Like, how the hell did Bilbo outrun this guy? Because he's right there.
Mm.
You know, just and then the one thing, the movie literally lost me. This is a minor nerd. I know I was making fun of you at the beginning of the show for being a nerd, but this is a minor nerd nitpick. But the way Gollum loses the ring is different. And in the book, it's very important. It's an important plot point because the ring itself is a character. It's almost sentient. The analogy I use is it's like a Horcrux from Harry Potter.
Right.
It is a character. It does act on its own will, and it chooses to abandon Gollum. In the movie, it just goes flying off its belt. And you're like, what? Weak. And that whole scene could have been creepy and cool, too, because he could have been invisible when he shows up, and like it would have been so much more effective, and instead it's like, yeah. So that scene lost me, and then there's a scene at the very end during the big fight scene that's not in the book, which Peter Jackson totally rips off Steven Spielberg from Tintin, like the coolest moment in the Tintin movie when the pirate crosses the flaming pirate mask with the ships are entangled. In this case, Thorin walks across the flaming tree. He's fighting the orc, and he gets beat up, and he's about to be killed, and the orc's about to chop off his head. And I literally said, if Bilbo, like, tackles this orc, I swear to God, I will walk out, Bilbo tackles the orc. And I'm like, oh! I almost booed. I was like, bullshit! I call bullshit on you, Jackson! But it made Bilbo more heroic, and then at the end, Thorin was like, hey, maybe you're worth bringing along after all. But,
fair enough.
What? Oh, and then the fucking moth! The one good thing about this movie... You shouldn't have asked this question, Riordan. The one good thing about this movie is everyone always rags on Lord of the Rings. How come they didn't fly the eagles to Mount Doom, man? It's because Gandalf couldn't find a fucking moth. Because apparently the way you summon eagles in Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings movies is you have a convenient moth that you send off to find the eagles. Like, because he does that. Again, it's one of those things. It's like poetry. It rhymes. So that all hope is lost and they're about to fall off a cliff. That's not in the book. And a little moth flies by, and they have the exact same musical score. And it's like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? And then, of course, the moth goes off and finds the eagle. So that kids, is why in the Peter Jackson movies, they can't just fly an eagle to Mount Doom because he couldn't find a moth.
Huh.
Okay? Is that enough?
Nice.
You good? You happy?
No, I think we're good. Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Love the choice.
Well, Doss and I haven't seen it, so.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. No, nothing to add to that. And the reader goes on to ask to us, would you be willing to do a toy room tour video one day in the future? And we get asked this a lot. I just got asked this again recently on YouTube, I think. And I'm like, I want to, but I don't want to do one with the way things look right now.
Well, I mean, we always talk about you. You've always said you wanted to do a thing with like my you know, my little toy cave where we do updates. And we really should have done the first one like a couple months ago. Because, like, right now, it would be, like the update would be, like, whoa.
Yeah,
like
true.
It's been a busy couple of months. It's been a busy week. So it always changes.
Oh, good.
Oh, no. There's some really spectacular stuff down there now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's been some big updates.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I don't know. I want to do one, but it's just a matter of finishing up getting stuff out of boxes again and put up on new shelves. I could just ran out of shelves, so I don't have any shelves to put up anything on. So it's like, So
likewise, I just keep, like, for the past year, I've been redoing my room every couple months because I don't know where to put anything.
Yeah, that's kind of where I run into is it's like I try to, like, I'm putting all of, you know, going through stuff and I'm like, where am I going to put this? And Carrie's like, you've run out of room. And I'm like, I know. Like, there's so much more stuff that I want, and I don't have any room for any of it. It's very sad. It's a sad day in the Duvall household. But eventually, one of these days, we'll get around to actually doing a toy room review. So that'll be something to look forward to.
Well, what's kind of funny is I was going through, you know, the advent calendar, whatever you want to call it, my list of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would say about a third of those pictures are already out of date.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's unreal.
Yep.
Well, our special guest today has been Eidos Barón.
Yay!
And we usually end the show with thoughts from Eidos Barón. Are you prepared with any thoughts today, oh great Baron?
My biggest thought was that damn Chima thing.
Just, I think there's a lot of bitterness there.
Yeah.
Das, there's... We should talk. I have a good therapist that you can talk to that might be able to help you see past some of this bitterness and come to accept the fact that Thundercats is dead for the second time.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, I caught an episode or two of the Turtles the Next Mutation after not seeing it for, you know, a good 12 years.
I'm so sorry.
I know.
I just recently sat through all of those again, and it was torture.
So you had to make the turtle van a fucking Hummer.
Oh yeah.
Oh wait, it was 1997. Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. No, that show's awful. The show's god awful.
Yeah.
Which one? Is that the live action one?
Uh-huh.
That is the live
okay.
action
one. Oh, that's the one with Venus.
Yep.
Yes.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, that is the one with Venus de Milo.
Yeah, I figured, because I thought the last cartoon was supposed to be pretty good. Where Shredder like a Krang or something and
yeah, that one was really
okay.
Good.
Okay, well, I was just I'm not that super up on my turtle lore, so I'm just trying to
Yeah, the Next Mutation was the live action one
okay.
produced by Saban, and they had a crossover with Power Rangers. What was it, Power Rangers Time
Force?
Time Force, yeah, yeah. They had a two part where the turtles were bad guys and they fought the Power Rangers, and then they were good guys. And it's not a good show at all.
There's a reason it only lasted one season.
Yes, it's one of the worst '90s shows that I've seen. Like I said, I just recently set through them all again just because I was like, I might as well torture myself a little bit. Some of them are okay, but then some of them are really, you're just like, oh, this is torture. Why am I watching this? Splinter is horrible. He's playing chess with a blind man in a park. Like, this is god-awful.
And then they had all those weird bandana variants on them.
Yes, they had like their full head bandanas instead of the half mask.
And then Mike was the only one that actually got a normal one. But they couldn't give him his nunchucks. They gave him a pair of Tonfas.
Yeah. He couldn't. It was such a weird show. Such a weirdly designed Saban show. I usually like Saban shows, and that one was just it was hard to watch. So hard to watch. But there you go, guys. That brings us to the end of another episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, the first episode for 2013. I want to have you on more, Das, when you're free. I know you work a kind of odd schedule with classes and work, but.
And I would, this time of year, holiday season's over, so
yeah,
that's true.
Things are slightly back to normal.
Yeah, I think we'll have DOS on maybe once or twice every couple of weeks, just to kind of chime in and help out with Dave and I, because there's episodes where Dave and I look at each other and we're like, yeah. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Are we good? Good. You?
I'd certainly love to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, like I said, I wanted you on for the 50th episode, but, you know, it was a holiday season, so.
Yep. And our guest for the 50th fell through, and it was very sad, so. But that's okay. We have DOS on now, and that's all that matters.
Oh, I want to ask you guys one thing.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Are you going to be I can't even form my words correctly now.
This is your big moment to shine.
Are you bringing back cartoon?
Animated World. I don't know. I keep
wanting to and keep talking about it. And it's like my schedule is so odd that it's like I'm working on a bunch of stuff for 2013. I know we've got one new podcast that's gonna start this year. Animated World is another one that I really want to get back to because it was a lot of fun.
I love when you guys do that.
Oh,
I don't know,
you.
Doc. Would you like to do Animated World?
I'm not alone.
No. But I was gonna say, we'll cut out the middleman here, and you and I will do it.
Hey, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be me doing Animated World. If somebody else wants to handle the reins on that, by all means, you know, I'm more than happy to see that show continue on in some form or another. It's been hell for me to try to get it up and going with everything else that's been going on. So that's something you guys can chat about off the air, and maybe the fans will have something to look forward to here real soon. Mm-hmm. I'm more than willing to be like, take it, have fun. Do me proud, boys. Do me proud. But there you go. And of course, as always, you can check out our sponsor, the Crazy Kings of Toys, at www.crazykingstoys.com. Always lots of great stuff going on. They've always got great sales going on throughout the year. Always new product coming in. So check them out. Helping them helps us continue to do this show each and every week. You can follow the show on Twitter at Dave and the Vol, so check that out. You can go to the forums, sign up. It's absolutely free. You can leave questions, leave comments, chat with other fans there of everything that's going on with Toy World Order. If you haven't, go to YouTube, subscribe to the Toy World Order channel. That helps us out a whole bunch. And as always, make sure you check Dave and I out every week. And now, hopefully, much more often, me, Dave, and Ados Barone live on Dave and the Vol's Toys and Collectibles, where we like to chat about all kinds of stuff. So make sure you check that out. And guys, Dos, thank you for hanging out with us. I appreciate it, brother. It's
thank you so much
been a
for
lot
having
of fun.
Me.
No, absolutely, brother. We will talk to you all soon. Thanks, guys.
Bye.